Welcome to Blightbringers, a Legion of Everblade focused War Machine and Hordes podcast. I'm your host, Runlore, and I'm back, and I'm still suffering from minor blight sickness. Joining me this week, my co-host, Wolf. How you doing, Wolf?
Hello, I'm here as usual, being an idiot. As per blight sickness, I'm right there with you. I'm looking at out of theme builds right now. So,
do we need to have an intervention?
I mean, it hasn't gotten to the point where I've taken it to a convention yet, so I think I'm safe.
Oh, okay. I feel extremely called out right now.
I wasn't meaning to, but I'll take it.
So this week, we're going to talk about some recent games that we played. We're going to spend some time addressing some criticisms that we've seen around levied towards our themes. And we're going to go over some of our lesser used casters and what we can maybe do to bring them out to a tournament. How's that sound, Wolf?
Yeah, it sounds good to me. Yeah, it's all fun. So as for recent games, I know you don't get very many in a week, so what do you got?
Well, I was in Ottawa 2 weeks ago, I guess.
Oh, yeah, you went to French Canada. The worst Canada.
Okay, easy now. So I spent some time there. Managed to get a couple games in. I brought a Abbey 2 list that had her three available characters in Children of the Dragon. And then I just... Yeah. Shoved a bunch of shredders into the list because I have a problem.
I mean, Abbey 2 with shredders is never a bad thing.
It was super fun. The first game I played against George Schweizer of Moose Machine. Super nice dude. I went out to the pub and hung out with the guys there.
Was he still running Kador?
No, he was on Scorn, actually, running the Supreme Guardian and like 30 Immortals.
Oh, was he as bad with them as I heard he was with Kador? I've heard he's very bad with Kador. I don't know if it's true.
Turns out Immortals just kill shredders easily, so it didn't go that well for me, but overall it was okay. He ended up feeding and before I could engage, and then I went in anyway with my feet. I think if I had just maybe backed off and let him score and then counter feet, I do a lot more work because I don't need to be rolling 11s.
Okay, yeah, that's a thing.
To kill a single immortal.
Yeah, that plus, what is it, plus five arm?
It's a lot. It's a lot. I ended up doing decent work to the packs of immortals, but the problem was I didn't have enough shredders probably to deal with the number that I needed to, especially with the Supreme Guardian just bringing some more guys back. It was a decent game, mind you, but it wasn't particularly close.
So in the future, what you're saying is you're just going to take 25 shredders and use that to bog people down?
There is a possibility that removing Zuriel for four more shredders is not a bad idea.
I mean, I like it. Anything that involves more shredders, do it.
Yeah, I don't really want to give up Proteus because having access to Grievous Wounds, even in that type of list, is always pretty handy.
Yeah.
And Azrael is just... kind of throwing bombs, especially under feet turn, because he gets the plus two strength.
Yeah, throwing pound 19s is nothing to laugh at.
Yeah, so I think the list is like actually kind of reasonable. It will struggle, obviously, into that high armor value that Immortals or some War Machine factions are capable of bringing. But like overall, Shredders with a 2-inch melee range flanking POW 12s are actually pretty reasonable at killing stuff.
Yeah, they hit above their weight class at that point. It's pretty nice.
Yeah, and then you have the issue of them frenzying and going nuts, but most of them die. So, you know, it works out.
Is that the counterplay? You just have to leave the shredders alone and let them kill themselves the next turn?
The thing is, like, if you are still engaged by them, then they're just going to... they'll frenzy on each other still. It's awkward. But yeah, maybe just leaving them alone is kind of an okay plan.
Yeah, and because your feet lasts for a round, you hold flight, so you can't even be like, oh, these two shredders charge on the opposite side of a large base. Like, nope, they still ignore intervening models for determining line of sight. They can still charge and kill each other.
No, because it expires at the start of your turn.
Does it? Oh yeah, it does. Okay, never mind. You're good then.
Yeah, like you can set up your shredders to not charge each other, but like. At some point, if you have a ton of shredders, they're just going to see each other.
Yep, ignore me. I'm just stupid. It's fine.
It's very much like that Minions caster, right? His feet used to, or still does, make everything frenzy. You had to be really careful.
Oh, Arcadius?
Yeah. In Mark II, right, you had to, like, position everything very specifically. I don't know if that's changed, but...
Everything frenzies, but he gets to choose the frenzy target. It's not the closest thing.
Yeah, so he's fine now, but... In
I think it was like that in Mark II. I didn't play him much in Mark II. Like, I didn't see him very often, but I don't think that changed. I could be wrong.
Okay. So my second game, I forget the fella's name, but I ended up going to Out of the Box in Ottawa and getting a game in there. I played a 75-point game against Gators, I want to say.
Chomp chomp.
Yeah, he had the Crocodile, or the, what's it called, Dracodile. He had all three of the lessers, or the juniors, or whatever.
Don't they have like five of them?
Okay, well, he had the snake.
Okay.
And apparently one is colloquially known as Ninja Pig.
Yep.
And maybe he didn't have a third one. Snapchat? Yeah, you might be right. They have access to Enliven, which is kind of ridiculous.
Yep.
But I ended up getting in a position where I could feated, trampled Proteus up, and dragged in the snake and Ninja Pig.
Nice.
And then just removed them from the table with Shredders. He should have used Enliven. He mentioned this after, and it was actually would have been really smart to fully body block Proteus from seeing the snake, and then yeah. I wouldn't have been able to buy on her with the Enliven move. So that would have been really smart. I ended up winning that game on Scenario by just putting everything opposite the Drac, like as far away from the Dracodile as I felt able to. And we were on the Scenario with the two circle zones and two rectangle zones. And I just kind of bullied the left side of the board with all of my Shredders, and removing those two beasts early put me at a huge advantage. And then the Dracodile had some extremely bad luck killing a Shredder and a Shepherd. I think he missed like a boosted seven on a Shepherd.
Oh,
it was not good.
Ouch.
Yeah, he tried to spray the Shepherd down, and the Shepherd was just like, what? I can't hear you. And then just hung out for an extra turn in the zone on the right. So it was kind of brilliant.
That's so dumb.
Yeah, it was real good. But yeah, those are the games I've gotten in recently. Game night would have been tonight, but I played Destiny instead, so.
Nerd.
It's fine. How about you, Wolf? Any recent good games in?
Let's see. I've been testing Veil 1 recently. So I played a game against Berka, I think it was last weekend? Yeah, that sounds right.
Okay. And I've played against Berka with Veil 2, and it's very upsetting.
I ended up winning by killing Berka, because incited Ravagor shots will do that.
Okay.
Basically, he moved forward and let me get a Ravagor pot shot on Berka, like bottom of one, which for some reason did like 6 damage.
Sure.
And he had no camp because he'd spent it all, you know, in the stone and whatever else. So I'd like a third killed his caster bottom of one. We play the game out and he basically has me dead to rights on Scenario. I have to kill him on my turn or just lose at the end of it. And Veil just walks forward, casts Insight, and we look at the table and I go, hey, your Pyre Troll is out of range for transfers. So the fact that you're camping 3 doesn't matter.
Oh,
boosted 17. Yep, boosted 17 from this Ravagor, boosted 17 from this Ravagor. He doesn't tough. I'm like, good game. All right, this was a good time.
Must be nice.
Yeah, that was one of those games where my dice did what they typically do, which is to say that, like, the 2 dice average for me was a 9, and I think the 3 dice was like a 13.
How does it feel living in magical Christmas land?
It feels good.
Yeah.
It feels good.
Oh,
I've had a couple of guys in my local and extended/local meta look at my dice before and just be like, hey, so we need to get these tested because there's no way you're rolling this hot. Like, I don't know why it happens. I don't do anything special with them. They're the same ones I've had for like 12 to 15 years. So I don't know. I guess they just like me at this point.
That's amazing.
It's fine. And then I played again into Striker 3 on Tuesday.
That caster doesn't exist. That's not a real caster.
It was Striker 3 and Gravediggers that my buddy GM Dan from Beer Machine.
Okay.
Shout out to them.
Yeah.
Because, you know, they're totally still a podcast that exists eventually.
I mean, they probably were more active than us the last few weeks.
That is not at all true.
Yeah. Well, what do I know?
Yeah, how dare you. but I was playing against him, and he was running Striker 3 and Gravediggers. It was like double max trenchers, a unit of commandos, two hammersmiths, Alexia and the Risen. It was actually a really grind list.
Okay.
That seemed like it could do a lot of damage. He hasn't gotten a lot of games in with it, though. So mistakes were made, and it got to a point where, because like Hex Hunters and Throne are really good at killing dudes, and there was a lot of dudes in that list.
Yeah.
That like he came in and I murdered all but two Hex Hunters, or like one in Belial, and then a Throne and like two Ravagors and an Angel just went, cool, I'm going to now murder every dude on your side of the table, minus Alexia, and Vale feeded, so then they all got to just back up and said, oh, well, you're in. Like, game plan is now run Alexia at me, and the next turn she either has to run dudes into scathers and they die, or I get to just Pac-Man angels through them all day. This is fine.
Nice.
So, it was a interesting game. I've missed playing Vale 1. Like, it's been a while, and she's some fun.
Yeah, I played Vale 1 at the start of Mark 3, back before themes, so you had the luxury of Typhon.
Yeah, I'm looking at an out-of-theme build with her right now, and it doesn't seem bad on paper. I don't know. I'm going to try and test it a bit and see if I'm actually crazy or if there might be something there.
Cool. All right. You got any more games before we move on?
No, that's all I got. I'm a loser.
Okay. So before we get into addressing the criticisms about our themes, we do need to have a quick RTFC. Because last episode we mentioned that after rising and then toughing, you could then stand up with your chosen or yeah, other Ogryn.
Turns out that's not true, and I thought I had looked it up in the rulebook and was like, oh yeah, it's here, it's fine. And I just was not looking in the right place. You absolutely cannot do that. Yeah. So rise still triggers first, and you can still, stand up and then tough again. But if you get knocked down again, you're stuck there until your next turn. Don't be stupid. That's my bad.
So just as a quick summary, you're unable to stand in a turn where they've been previously knocked down.
Correct.
That's pretty much it. Mistakes get made. That's why we like to bring them up on the show, so we clear them up for any future listeners. All right. You want to talk about themes?
Yeah. So I'm going to try and do this as politely as I can, but I make no promises on how that will go because I am me.
Okay.
But there has been a lot of, let's say, criticism or talking on specifically like the Legion Facebook group over the last several weeks about how our themes are all terrible and everything is bad and the sky is falling and nobody should have nice things because we don't have nice things. And just a lot of, I'm going to call it what it is, it's bullshit, okay? So to anybody who is sitting there and saying, well, we don't have seven themes like Crix, you're right, we don't. Like, that's valid. You can count, congratulations.
Yeah.
We have four of them, and while the beast selection on Ravens is needlessly restricted, and for the life of me, I still don't understand why, and we have Children, which is a fine theme with units that get no support outside of a caster, like that doesn't make everything bad and terrible and the sky is falling. If your measure for what's good in this game is looking at Discount Games Inc. or talking to three people or looking at your own local meta, whether that be four guys in somebody's basement or 20 people at your local store and saying, well, my Ravens list never wins a tournament, therefore it must be bad. Well, I looked at Discount Games Inc. and the latest con, Chris Orr or JVM or, didn't have a Children list in their pairing, so Children must be terrible. Like, shut up. That's not how that works. Any competent player with half a brain will tell you that's not how that works. Just for the love of God, stop. Please. Please. That's all I ask.
Yeah, so let's just talk about our themes really quick. It's been a while since we've kind of gotten into them. Like, they were one of our first topics. Chosen of the Dragon, when it was released, did have its set of issues, mainly that it included no heavies, and that was a problem.
Yep.
Fortunately, that was addressed. And, you know, we've been able to see some success with it. It was played at the Sioux by both JVM and Chris Orr to great success under Thags. That doesn't mean it's going to be, you know, having a list get played, you know, last year doesn't mean it's going to continue to tear up the meta, but it was there and it's possible to build a list out of it.
So as far as children specifically is concerned, the theme itself is fine, and anyone who says otherwise is just stupid. But the problems it has, like, are not problems with the theme. They're problems with the units that we have and where they can get support or any kind of help from. When you're running an entire theme that you want to take units in, but the theme doesn't benefit those units, like, yes, that is a shortfall of the theme.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean that the theme isn't good. It just means that's a weakness of it. But, like, none of our units get support from anywhere but the casters. We don't have solos that hand out Pathfinder. We don't have solos that give out True Sight or Isle of Sight. Most of our units don't have any kind of mini feat or any kind of, like, useful ability to get them where they need to go. The only way they're going to do that is from whatever caster you happen to be running.
Yeah.
So, like, if you're not running a Veil 2 or a Ryas who can give out Occultation, like, you're gonna get shot. If you're not running Fianna who can boost, you know, they're up to defense 17 on a bunch of dudes and give out Blast Immunity, like, you're gonna have a bad time into AoEs. These aren't weaknesses of the theme itself. That's a weakness we have with the units. And it was a thing that I thought was going to be addressed at the start of Mark III when PP had come out and said, hey, we want to make Legion units a viable option.
Yeah.
We want them to be a consideration, a choice in a list where you don't just run beasts all the time. We want to make the units compelling enough to make you look at them and say, huh, maybe this unit of archers is going to be better than an Arif.
Mm-hmm.
They just didn't do that.
No. They kind of got bopped over the head a little bit.
Yeah. So, that again, I'm not going to say that there's not weaknesses with the units. There's not weaknesses with the way it's designed. But because it's, you know, maybe there's a weakness in it, doesn't make it bad. You can still play with what's there. You either have to get creative with it, whether that be creative in your list building, creative in how you use things on the table, or creative in the application of, like, the list itself, if that makes sense.
Yeah, there needs to be built into your list a way or a means to kind of, like, outplay your opponent. If you have just dudes that just make attacks, that's not really going to help you. But it does come down to, in Legion, like, our solos, a lot of them are very specialized. And, like, when's the last time you saw a Strider Deathstalker? Like, I know they're not in caught, like, children, but we miss those guys so bad.
Oh, yeah, we do.
Like, man.
I miss having two in every list.
I know, right? So, you know, if you find that, you know, you're fighting into a lot of dudes, like, hell, in that match where I played against those Immortals, oh, my God, could you imagine two Deathstalkers? They'd be so happy.
You just ping off for a turn and go, your armor doesn't matter. Thanks.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, go ahead and feed. It's fine. You know, so we have to make the best out of what we do have. And it's tough when you look at when you start getting in the downward terror spiral of looking at other factions and being like, this stuff is crap compared to theirs. Like, yeah, obviously it's going to compare badly because a lot of our stuff hasn't really gotten the opportunity to be changed yet, which isn't necessarily bad. Like, Raptors are still incredible. Hex Hunters are pretty reasonable. But once you start getting, you know, to Archers or Legionnaires, it's like, these guys need some help.
Yeah, I also think a lot of the problem is that the meta right now, or I say the meta, but like the national meta, the things you're going to see about at cons or at larger events, like, it doesn't, those themes don't play well into it.
No.
Like, you don't take a bunch of dudes into Double Judicator and say, huh, this is a good plan, because you get shot the hell off the table.
Yeah. The game is very hateful to single wound infantry right now, I think. Just in general, there's a lot of models that just remove them from the table without any interaction.
Yep. And there's a lot of ways to get around them being there. So, like, outside of, like, a Callus 1 where you can say, yep, you're going to kill them, but there's still going to be a dude there, so now you have to kill him again.
Yeah.
We don't have a good way to deliver our infantry. We don't have a good way to support them, to get them where they need to be. And we don't have any good ways to, like, get them damage when they get there outside of, you know, a feat or one random spell on a card.
Yep.
Like, this doesn't apply to, like, Primal Terrors, by the way.
No.
Because they have high enough armor and boxes to get there. But, like, if you look at, you know, Grotesques, when was the last time anybody saw a unit of Banshees on the table?
I don't think anybody's played Banshees ever.
There you go. You know, when was the last time, unless you were playing me, you saw archers on the table, because I still like archers, but...
Yeah, I've played archers. They're reasonable. Like,
yeah, they're not bad at 13 points. It's just compare across factions, or when you look at them and say, huh, I can take this unit of archers for 13 or a Nerf for 12. That Nerf's going to be harder to kill, doesn't get bogged down by terrain, and is like a valuable target for spells. Well, what's going to win out there?
Yeah.
So, go ahead.
Yeah, so we're not trying to be down on Legion units or anything, but like we recognize that there's problems, but that doesn't mean that we can't do anything with them. So we're trying to, you know, encourage people to like maybe take a second look, because I think Banshees are actually kind of nuts. They have so many abilities and they're so fast, and they have a spray. Why do they have a spray? I don't know why they have a spray. It's ridiculous.
I would honestly challenge anybody who's looking at these units or who's looking at these themes and going, well, this is terrible, to play games with it. Not, well, I'm going to run two games into this really terrible match for it, and then I'm going to use that as anecdotal evidence as to why this is bad. Like, that, shut up with that. But like, I would, if you're going to look at Ravens and tell me, oh, well, Ravens is a crap theme, okay, put it on the table for 10 games. Don't change your list. Don't say, oh, well, I'm going to swap things around every other time. Like, pick a caster, pick a list that looks okay, and put it on the table. And after 10 games, if you can honestly tell me, this list is bad, here's 10 different opponents and 10 different armies that I've played it into, and it got beat to hell every time, then I will listen to you.
Yeah.
But if you're going to say, oh, well, I played one game with Twins and Ravens, and it was just terrible, well, what'd you play it into? Well, I dropped it into Armored Core. Gee, I wonder why it was terrible. Like, it's, you're not proving anything. You took a list into a terrible matchup for it and said, well, I couldn't win this. Must be the list's fault. At some point, it's the person between the table and the chair.
Yeah.
Like, just saying.
I'm going to build a Lilith 1 list, I think, with Banshees. It seems fun.
There you go. Power 15 sprays with 3 dice to hit seem good.
Seems real good.
And brain damage for some reason. Oh god, take that into like trolls. That'd be funny.
It would be so sad. All right. So we're not going to go over the rest of them, but like, we, you know, just like I said, spend some time thinking about the themes, play a list, see if there's anything, any redeeming qualities of what you put together, and, you know, play 5-10 games and go from there. We, you know, we want to hear about that stuff and
get out of your comfort zone. Like, if all you do is play, you know, Animag PT or Kallus 1, and that's all you play all the time, or you go, oh, well, I'm going to drop Thags 1 Double Thrones, and that's all you play, and you're going to complain about the other themes, you never really gave them a chance. You've never done anything with them. You've never put the time into them to figure out how they work and to unlock them and to, like, make them be the best they can be, even with whatever deficiencies they have, because there are some there. Like, there's a deficiency in every theme in this game, and I don't care what anybody says otherwise. I dare somebody to find me a perfect theme. I dare you.
Yeah. All right. That seems pretty good.
I feel better now.
Yeah. Play themes. Play all of them different themes. I know, like, everyone is always focused on the hyper-competitive tournament stuff, but, like, there's got to be something out there that's a redeeming quality of the other ones. For sure. There has to be.
There is. It's going to take somebody to unlock it. It's going to take somebody to be willing to put the time in and, like, say, hey, I'm going to make this work.
Absolutely.
That's it. Be that person. Make it work.
Then tell us about it.
For real. I want to hear about this. Like, anybody actually takes any of this to heart and says, you know what, I'm going to play these games, like, feel free to post them on the Facebook page. I'll look at them. I'll respond. I'll ask questions. Like, get me in, coach. I'm ready to play.
Absolutely. All right. Let's talk. So we talked about our themes that aren't getting played. Let's talk about some casters. You mentioned a Veil One list, themeless, that you're thinking about?
So I was talking to JVM, the god of Everblight, on Discord.
Praise our Lord and Savior.
There you go. And he had made a comment that he was looking at a Veil One Double Throne list he'd made on the way back from WTC, as well as four or five other like secret lists that he was working on. But he does that. But he shared it with me, and I looked at it and went, well, I don't have Double Thrones, but like this seems kind of interesting. And he had made the suggestion when we were asking, you know, kind of circling around for like, okay, what would people want to hear about on this episode, of, you know, lesser used casters, of ones that maybe don't get looked at by a lot of players, but maybe they should. And I feel like Veil One falls into that list because, like, yeah, okay, between editions, she lost Rampager, which is some garbage, but whatever. It is what it is.
Yeah.
And her feet lost the ability for herself to move during it, which, again, is a little bit of garbage, but okay, sure. But, like, that doesn't mean that she's not playable or that she's as bad as the hive mind would want you to think. You know, the people who were experienced with her in Mark II, she had a very deep toolkit. She could play her way out of a lot of situations. And despite the changes, she still can. So the list I was running was Veil One in Oracles with double Ravagor, double Angel, a single Throne, a single Shepherd, a Sorceress on Hellion for free, a Bogtrog Mistspeaker, a full unit of Hex Hunters with Belial. And that's it.
Okay.
And mind you, I've only played it three times now.
All right.
So, you know, results are a little skewy still. But playing this has made me realize how much I missed playing Veil One. I really have, because she still has just such a deep toolbox. Like, Insight is just an amazing spell. Randomly, Rat 9 Ravagors hitting at Pow 17 are just freaking stupid. Like, you can just murder the world with friggin' Rat 9 boosting hits.
And I guess you're aiming, right?
Yeah. So okay. Get something in Insight range, Ravagor aims. It's now like it's a Rat 9 Pow 17.
Pretty respectable.
You boost hit and damage, and like it's kind of ridiculous. You know, the angels go up to a mat 8, which is nothing to laugh at. And the armor pierces go up to consistently Pow 16s.
Yeah.
Which is enough. You know, the throne going up to effective magic ability 9.
Right.
Pow 18 on its tentacle attacks. Like, you can just throw Pow 14 sprays off of it. There's a lot of stuff in there that's just, it hits harder than it feels like it has any right to. And with the way terrain is now, you can generally keep Veil just like at the center of the board, I'm finding. Cast Insight, maybe upkeep Leash or Chiller, and sit on 3 with Dark Sentinel and be completely safe.
Yeah, there's often like a forest or house in the middle of the board next to the guidelines that you can just kind of chill, right?
Yeah. There's a forest, there's rubble, there's a house. There's nothing weirder than looking at your opponent who's going, oh, well, I'm going to take this shot at her if they can get line of sight. And it's just like, cool. Well, she's def 17 against shooting because she always has concealment.
Yep.
There's a game when I was playing GM Dan. He had Risen run or charge a Ravagor. He got 3 of them in. When the 4th one got there, I went, cool, that's within 5 inches of Veil. Pass over to me. I'm going to take 2 or 3 free strikes from Risen to trigger Dark Sentinel, which they're like Pow 10, so I didn't care.
Yeah.
Fired a fully boosted shot into that one, killed all 4, and then dropped a Scather where the rest of them wanted to go.
You can make ranged attacks?
Yeah, you can make a fully boosted melee or ranged attack.
No.
Yeah, check that out.
Oh my god.
So like, the rest of that, there was still like 16 Risen left to go because it was Alexia with all the corpses that now couldn't get anywhere where they needed to. And had to spend the rest of the turn going, well, all right, I guess I just run and spread out because Ravagor AoEs will just kill me next turn.
That's amazing.
Like I said, she's made me realize what it was like to have a caster with that deep toolbox that gave you options to play into anything. Like another one, I was playing into Berka and Ambush Bears ambushed.
Yeah.
Had I, you know, positioned correctly, which I thought I did, but I looked at it after and I was out by like 1/2 inch. Had I moved Veil 1/2 inch to the left, I had a Ravagor over there. Ambush of Bears charged it. if she had been half an inch over, again, it triggers Dark Sentinel. That Ravagor walks away, and sure, it takes two boosted POW 16s from the bears.
Yeah.
But then the bears don't kill the Ravagor because that's not going to kill it. They charged, and now they're standing in the middle of nowhere going, huh, well, I didn't make my points back, and those bears are going to die next turn.
Yeah, they're not engaged by anything, so they're easy to shoot.
You can shoot them, or that same Ravagor now just charges them and says, nope, doesn't matter, get off my table.
Yeah, I've had a Ravagor kill, I think, a whole unit of that of those bears before.
Yeah, because it turns out, again, with Insight, Ravagors go up to mat 8, POW 18. Like, they become super accurate in melee and able to kill a lot of...
Like, those are carny stats.
Yeah, like, that's not nothing.
Jeez, I like it.
So... Like, I think Vale is one of those casters that a lot of people wrote off at the start of Mark III after seeing the changes and just never really picked up again or never really wanted to because they were upset about the loss of, like, Rampager and the feat change. And I was right there with them until I talked to Jake and he had brought this list up and I went, huh, well, if you think this is good, like, you clearly know what you're talking about. So... like, I'm going to tweak it for my own flavor, and let's see what it does. And it turns out it's actually pretty good.
Right on.
Oh, God. Who do you got? Who do you think is underplayed?
Underplayed? Man. Like, Lil 2? When... Okay. So, it's... This is me with my jank hat on.
Love the jank hat.
It's a real good hat. She still has problems. Primarily pincushion. Is a pain to tag anything with.
Yep, I can see it.
Tutor Fury stat. But what you can do is play her in Primal Terrors and just bring War Spears, who like are kind of maligned right now because they're not warmongers and cheap, but whatever.
And yeah, there's some issues there, but continue.
Yeah. And they have Vengeance now. They have the ability to, under feat turn, make 3 ranged attacks.
Assault initial edition, yeah.
Which is pretty decent.
Yeah, that'll do some work.
Yeah, so if you landed on like if they're playing a gargantuan or like a colossal, you just delete that thing.
Yeah, just throw POW 15 to 17s in it until it's not on the table anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a thing.
And it's not, I don't think it's like great, but like you still, because it's in Primal Terrors, you still have access to Ravagors. You still have access to Naga for the Blessed, which is, like, super important for Ravagors at this point.
It has its moments.
Yeah. So, like, I think there's a list there. I've tried it out. I played it before they'd gained Vengeance, and it was okay. Because they got Vengeance in the CID, I think.
Yes.
And I enjoyed it. It was fun. Again, it may not have been good, but I think with some tweaking, War Spears could... like I said, do some decent work with Pincushion. And Mirage. Just Mirage.
Yeah, Mirage is like the worst threat extender in the game, but it's also situationally great.
Yeah, like it's good for War Spears because you can put them into a forest and then charge through it.
Yeah, that's not bad at all.
Right? Like it's not the best because you have to plan ahead. But like, I don't know, it's something. I think it's worth exploring, is what I'm going to say.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Lilith 2 is another one that was huge in Mark 2 because you could consistently just top of 2 people.
Yeah.
And they toned that down, which I dislike it because I enjoy top of 2-ing people. But it was better for the game to not have a caster with Shadow Pack that could turn, you know, Ravagors and Stealth and then shoot off any caster in the game.
I mean, we could see through forests.
Yeah, that was also another big one.
Right. If you just take that away, maybe it's okay, but you know, like I'm not mad about the changes. She still has play.
I think they were necessary for the health of the game.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think she might get looked at a later date just because Soothing Song is kind of a weird spell on her. Like that's the only thing I don't like about her, honestly.
It's awkward.
Is that just it's awkward timing. Because the one time you want to use it is the one time she can't use it.
Yes, she has to go first.
Yeah. So that's... I feel like there was definitely a mix-up there. She probably should have something else, or that should be reworded to, like, at the end of a beast's activation, it just loses a fury point that's on it.
That'd be cool.
Like something like that, so she could actually do what she wants to do.
Yeah.
But as a whole, like, she's not in a bad spot either. It's, again, the same thing with Val, where she was really good, and people got used to her being really good, and then the changes happened, and she got put on a shelf because, well, she's not at Haley 2 anymore, therefore, you're not worth my time.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, I didn't play her at all. I never got around to her in Mark 2, so for me, it's, I'm not really missing anything, but she didn't, like I said, there was a lot of negativity, so for me, I didn't want to pick her up. But I think there's potential there. You could do something, like Banshees with her seem okay. Archers even seem not terrible, because they do have CRA and Arcing Fire. Like, kind of scary.
Yeah, you take Archers with a Sorceress in her, and suddenly two units of Archers are auto-plinking.
Wassels to death.
See, 10, 11... 22, yeah, you're doing 44 auto points of damage if you can get them all in range.
Like, yeah.
That just about kills a Colossal with Pow-10s.
Yeah. Not bad, not bad. All right, what do you say we do one more and we wrap this thing up?
Sounds good. Well, for my last one, I got to go with my girl Abby 1.
Okay.
Because I'm not going to mention any names, but there's some people on Discord that hate her, specifically some Europeans,
oh my
and
God.
I think they're wrong.
Is this a European we've had on the show?
It is.
Okay.
Again, great. Not mentioning anybody by name.
No, so. no names.
But I've played over 100 games with her. Like, I think I'm close to 200 at this point. I love Abby. And the complaint I constantly hear is, like, why would I take Abby 1 when Abby 2 does the same thing better?
Sure.
And the thing is, like, you can play them both that way. But if you play them both as a, I'm going to alpha you hard and either win or lose the game right there, like, you're not taking advantage of Abby 1's kit.
Okay.
So, like, again, close to 200 games with her, and I think she is criminally underplayed right now, because it turns out refuge on a Carnivian or on Azrael or an Angel even is stupidly good. Like,
yeah.
It's never stopped being stupidly good. The ability to hand out flight to literally any of our beasts is amazing. Put it, you know, you put playing God on an Angel and suddenly it stands midfield at def 16 against living things, and people don't have a good way to deal with that.
Yeah.
Especially on a model that's already immune to knockdown and naturally has overtake. So, like, you can literally just chain Pac-Man your way through entire units. And they can't do anything about it.
Right.
And then there's Blight Burst, which I think is the best spell in her kit. And I've constantly heard people go, oh yeah, you shadow bind and then you use it. Or, you know, you knock something down and then use it. And those are, like, the cute and fun ways to use it. Like, don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
I still love my game against Butcher 3 where I managed to throw...
Marauders?
Nope. The ones that have the heavy boiler.
I have no idea, my dude.
Grolars. No, not Grolar.
No, Grolars. Kodiaks, okay.
Kodiaks, okay. Where I was playing into Butcher 3, he had two Kodiaks in Ruin, and there was something oddly hilarious about picking up a Kodiak, throwing it at a second Kodiak that, you know, because of the angle, also hit Ruin, knocked all three of them down, refuged that, the thing that did it away, and then Abby got to walk up and say, and Blight Burst. Now all three of them are useless for a turn.
Oh my God.
Suck it.
Yeah, I think I remember you describing that, and that was very happy for you.
That's one of those moments where it shouldn't happen, but it does, and you just feel amazing.
Yeah.
But, like, those are the cute ways to use it that most players aren't going to let you, but just having a spell that says, hey, you don't have free charges, cool, this thing doesn't get to charge this turn. Like, that's it. That's amazing.
Yeah.
Or I was playing into a Ron player in Canada, and I threw out a Blight Burst, and it deviated, but it deviated into the place an Arc Node had to go, and you can't Arc when you're in there. So he went from, like, oh, I've got a pretty good assassination run, to walking this in and said, I just have to Arc a Force Hammer into this. And I went, cool, you're in the AoE. You don't get to Arc through that.
Oh, jeez.
And there was, like, a 30-second pause. Like, it didn't lose him the game.
Yeah.
It didn't. It wasn't like, oh, he committed all these resources. It was just, oh, well, I went from having a pretty good assassination run to I don't have an assassination run this turn anymore. And, like, it forced Ron to play a longer game, which he does not want to do.
Right.
Like, there's so many little uses like that, or even, you know, casting it on your own heavy into, like, say, Kador, where they've got the Marauders. If you have a Carnivian that's standing in the middle of a 4-inch AoE and a Marauder comes in on it, it gets its two initial attacks and then can't do anything else.
Right.
Because it turns out you're still in the AoE at max melee range. So, like, you go from, I put this heavy in a dangerous spot and it probably dies, to, what do you have with reach? Nothing? Cool. You're either going to overcommit heavily to kill this heavy, or you're not actually going to kill it, and I get to keep doing what I want next turn. Like, I really, the more I, like, look at it and the more I, like, keep playing games with her, I really feel she is criminally underplayed right now. And maybe part of it is, you know, the meta and what people are expecting to see into. Maybe everyone's just still enamored
yeah.
With Primal Terrors. So, you know, she's not a real good cover for their bad matchups, but, like, she is, in my opinion, just criminally underplayed. And I want to see more people take her and try her, because she is just stupidly good once you get the hang of the game you play with her.
Cool. That's awesome.
I'm really on an Abby One kick. Like, I might have to pick her up again. I might drop Animag for a little while and take a break.
Yeah. You can't play the same thing forever. Like, if you play the same thing forever, you're just going to get bored. You'll get good,
yeah,
but you'll get bored.
Ogryn are fun, don't get me wrong, but, like, I do love me some Abby One.
Totally. All right. Cool. So that's a few casters. That's a few suggestions for maybe taking themes and casters that are not as obvious or not well represented in Legion. So we hope everyone kind of takes that to heart this week and tries something new.
We can talk about a couple other casters that are criminally underplayed.
Yeah, we could.
I don't know.
We look at Saren or something.
Kallus too. I feel like he's got some games some places. We'll talk about it another time.
Absolutely. All right. Boker Brawl. I believe Cutter is attending. You backed out, right? You're not making it this time?
Yeah, I can't make it. Cutter is supposed to be there. I was supposed to be there. Something happened with one of my teammates. We couldn't get a replacement. So we kind of got told by the TO, because lists were submitted and we didn't have an alternate, to play the lists that were submitted or play a person down. We couldn't find an alternate who played the faction. We had gotten my one buddy, but he had, you know, told me after the fact that he had kind of felt forced into going,
right,
because I had gotten a hold of him last notice or last minute, and that it wasn't his faction, but he had said yes just to help us out, and then kind of said that, hey, I don't really want to go. Like, I felt obligated to say yes because we're friends, but, you know, it's not my faction, and I don't really want to go and be miserable for an entire weekend, which I hold nothing against him for that. That is completely understandable. It was just, you know, a bad situation, and then kind of being told that, well, yeah, I know it's 3 days past list lock, but lists are submitted, therefore you play it or play a person down. Like, that just kind of sucked. And then it was just kind of like talking to the team and going, look, we could spend a couple $100 and drive down to Jersey and stay down there for a couple days, but, like, we don't have a good chance of winning. We don't have a good chance of placing, and it doesn't feel worth it to go down without having, like, an actual chance.
Yeah, like, you were kind of committed to the team tournament, right?
Yeah. Like, you're starting the day going, well, we literally have to win every game, and even then, we're still only getting 4 wins at best. So, like, if we lose a round, like, we can't even get, like, top 3.
Yeah.
It didn't feel worth it for the money it would have been to go.
Yeah, fair enough.
So, yeah, we ended up backing out, but best of luck to Cutter, best of luck to Nate.
Yeah.
There's a couple other, you know, Legion players going down. I'm sorry, I don't remember everybody's name, but I'm a terrible person. So everyone playing Legion, best of luck. You know, obviously send pictures, post them on the Facebook page, do whatever. But enjoy yourselves, have a good time. It should be fun.
Cool. I don't think I've got any tournaments coming up. A couple of my locals are actually going to Armatura. I believe it's next weekend or this weekend. So that's in Ottawa. So look for them there. Beyond that, hopefully I'll get some games in next week. Might end up packing Lilith One, we'll see. And yeah, I guess that's it. Oh, join us on Discord, as always.
Come say hello. I'm there occasionally. It's weird right now with my work schedule, but I still show up and yell at people every once in a while.
Yeah, we have a pretty global crew, so usually there's somebody there you can chat with.
Yeah, come on. You know, talk ideas, talk lists, talk about how much I'm an idiot. And that's fine. I still haven't gotten any hate mail, so I don't know what the hell's going on.
You actually got praise mail.
I know, I did. It was weird. What the hell? Like, I'm not going to drop names here, but I had gotten a message that was like, hey, thanks for being a positive voice in the community. And I really had to look at that for a minute and wonder how sarcastic this person was being, because there's no way that that's true.
Oh, well. Okay. Well, that'll do it for us this week. For Wolf and myself, thank you for listening to episode 17 of Blightbringers. We'll talk to you later.
Indeed, we will. Bye, everybody. Have a great day.
Bye.